Honorable Minister and Honorable Deputy Minister, you are welcome. By now we know each other. We are fortunate today to have the Minister and the Deputy Minister amongst us. Last week I understand you did receive the informal briefing.
Have indicated for the members to engage with our political leaders so that they can have a clear, both technical and political understanding of the amendment. So we'll quickly go through a short presentation for the members, and then from there we can engage in the entire discussion of the question. With me here, for the Lerato Monari, Assistant Director in Transparency, take members through the presentation and then we'll take questions.
I'm used to
Thank you, Honorable Jefferson. Our Minister and the Chief Minister and members of the committee. Since we are having some technical problems with regard to the laptop, I'm hoping that the hard copies have been taken except of the bill and the presentation itself. I'll start with the presentation. Matala has introduced myself, the team DOC Leadership Corps. With them is Masila Matala, Acting Chief Director, ICT Policy Development, and myself, Lerato Monari, Assistant Director, ICT Policy Development. We are doing this presentation to the Select Committee on Labor, Public Enterprise, and COP. The presentation is made out of four elements, namely the purpose, the background of the amendment, the strategic interventions by government, and the discussion. I'll go straight to the purpose. The purpose is to amend the Electronic Communications Amendment Act No. 36 of 2005, so as to empower the minister to issue policy directions for facilitation of licensing of public entities and provide licensing framework thereof. Background. The Electronic Communications Act was enacted by Parliament in 2005. Which is repealed the Telecommunications Act No. 103 of 1996, which used to be the principal act governing the telecommunications in South Africa. The ECA, in its current form, does not allow the government to license the public entity, hence the need for strategic interventions by government. Why strategic intervention? The aim of this strategic intervention is to reduce costs to communicate by providing infrastructure at the wholesale rate. Secondly, to improve on government service delivery and support and provide the much needed bandwidth for strategic projects and consumers in general. Let's go to discussions. The current ECA in Chapter 3 deals with the processes and procedures for licensing, license exemptions, It defines the roles of the executive and ICASA. It also defines various competitive processes and procedures, but does not give any provision to license the special licensing of public entities. Hence again, members, the need for government intervention. And therefore, the proposed amendment. The aim of this proposed amendment in this chapter, once again, it will enable the minister to issue a direction after cabinet approval to ICASA. The policy direction will define the roles and the mandate of the entity to be licensed by ICASA. The bill, members, was published in the Government Gazette, number 30307. That was in 30 September 2007 for public comment, with the closing date of 29 of October 2007. There were also public hearings that were conducted in this regard, which took place on the 31st of October 2007. The department, in conjunction with the Special Advisor as well, has analyzed the various submissions in this regard, and they were incorporated accordingly. Lastly, Honorable Chair, on the 7th November of 2007, the bill was debated and was passed in the National Assembly. With that, I would like to thank you, and I would now hand over to my Chief Director, Ms. Mashila Matana. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think the presentation in short captured the purpose of the amendment. The members will recall that earlier this year we had a controversial bill that was championed by our colleagues sitting next to from public enterprises on Infraco. The Infraco bill is a bill that was introduced by public enterprises earlier this year. I think cabinet approved in cabinet in the 4th of January for the process to start. But the mandate of the Infraco, as members will understand through the amendments and discussion through public processes, Infraco is supposed to be a 100% state-owned entity that has to be issued with a license to operate a network in South Africa. So in terms of our legislation and regulations in the ICT sector, an entity to be able to provide such kind of services, they need a license. So the Rata has indicated that in the Chapter 3 of the Electronic Communications Act, this is the legislation that governs the industry, which does not include, maybe I think because of the policy position on the liberalization process in the sector, we actually did not specify the state entities licenses. We just describe kinds and types of licenses that the regulator has to issue. But we did not put a clause that gives government power to issue licenses to those entities if they are still government owned. So that was the gist of the problem with regard to Infraco, and that's where the industry's contestation was, to say if public enterprises are coming with this entity that is going to be providing broadband, how are they going to be licensed? Because the current legislation does not allow for such kind of an entity to provide a network. If it's going to be entering the sector, competing with us, then we need to be licensed. Because then they wanted to ensure that government follow processes as they are outlined in the law on licensing network operators. So the challenge was that if we them continue to license in FRACO without amending the ECA, will be sitting with legal challenges, because in terms of the licensing process that we have in the ECA, all entities that have to be issued with licenses, they must complete. Our regulator must issue an invitation for all interested parties to come and apply, irrespective of whether they are government owned or not. So the amendment that is with us today is just to allow that government entities, once the government cabinet has approved that this entity has to be issued with the license to provide the infrastructure, to provide services to the underserved areas or because of the lack of development in certain cases. Government must not then go into a competitive process with the other existing entities to get that license, because it's going to be costly for government to do that, and secondly, it does not necessarily guarantee that they'll get a license, because our market is open for competition. If an ICA is issued, British Telecom can apply, AT&T in the States can apply, in terms of our competition environment, as long as they'll meet the requirements in terms of the BEE that are specified in the legislation. So it will be difficult for government to compete in such kind of licensing. So we then therefore agreed during the deliberations with the other colleagues from DPE and committee members that we then need to comply with this legislation that we draft as government, amend so that we can license our state entities in accordance with our legislation. I think that's the short summary of the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members who've been listening to the presentation on the ECA bill, the amendment, such amendment. Are there any questions? Or are we satisfied that by passing only in FRACO bill, it will be useless for us, so we've got to amend the ECA, and we are satisfied with the explanation that we've been to this. Members, over to you. Honorable Mr. Nandi.
Thank you, Chief, and thank you to the Department of Communication, which is quite like this, welcoming the Minister and the Community. From our side, Chair, I think last week, we were registered quite in. I just want to check again with the department for the last time before we go to the house. Whether there are any other changes, we ask that question for ambassadors to be whether there are any other things you might have brought so that we're not caught by surprise and try and smoothen between the NCOP and MA on the amendment. So sometimes that doesn't become.
Ask the minister to talk to us, as the committee, the select committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If one thing that this is unusual, we just had in the last week quite a number of occasions to listen to different people. I was at the diaspora meeting that was chaired by the minister, I mean that was organized by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Diaspora for Africa, bringing people from all over the world. A number of the scientists that were there were all talking about the importance of communication. You see, these things that we're talking about cannot happen when they're not communicating. But a week before, I had been in Brazil last week and came back last week. The issue there was also the question of the ownership, that when you privatize taxes, you are not able to really get the private sector to go into those areas where the markets do not allow. But also, even some of the developed countries, as they are expanding now, they are saying, at least get your infrastructure to be open and then competition will come on, because then people do not spend a lot of money on infrastructure and take a long time to recoup their investment. If governments intervene and set out, I mean, and at least take this part of the responsibility for the infrastructure, it allows for competitors now with an open access to all be able to access, have lesser costs, and compete, and then the cost of communication gets lower and lower. So we are quite convinced now. The same that happened, I think last month we were at the ICT, you know, Connect Africa, which was organized by the ITU and the African Union in Rwanda. The same issues came up to say if governments could at least begin to invest, look at what happened, and the places that were mentioned were Korea, etc., which has had quite a lot of advance in the ICT sector. And part of the reason of that success was government investment in the infrastructure. And then you allow for open access and competitive access then to the infrastructure. And if that is the thing that would allow for the infrastructure to then get used and become affordable. Now for us in particular, in a country where there hasn't been the kind of infrastructure we have in our rural areas, this would allow, therefore, that once that infrastructure allows for wholesale then to be bought, then our own small rural area, I mean small towns and rural areas will also then have access to the internet. And therefore this infraco will allow for at least the access to many of the areas and competition in the different areas. But it would also allow, for example, in a local municipality where there isn't access to, that if at all there is enough, for example, broadband in that municipality, then that broadband could be licensed as a local license or whatever, or under service area license, together with the private sector, or if there's no private sector, it could then. So this allows also for a local government to say, in this particular local area, we don't have services, but we do have some broadband. Why don't we use it then to get a license? And in that circumstance, because the license does go to ICASA, it is not just arbitrary. They would have to apply. ICASA will have to look at it and say, yes, it is true. This is an underserviced area. Yes, it is true. It doesn't have the access that it should have. And yes, it is true that it needs to get that kind of license in accordance with this particular framework. So this is what this law actually does. It goes beyond just the infraco, but it was made possible precisely because when we had to license infraco, we realized that we built infraco and we can't get a license for it. It must be special circumstances to license it, and this is why we are putting this. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Deputy Minister, is there anything that you want to say?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Minister has done excellent work in covering the government. I wanted to just make two comments just to support him what she's saying. The first one is to just to explain a little bit better so that our members understand why we also think that it's really very necessary that this bill gets your support. The DOC officials explained that the essence of this bill is aimed at trying to correct what might have been a weakness or a defect in the original bill, the ECA Act. In the original Act, you would have heard our officials say that we omitted to include the right for the states to intervene in the licensing of public entities. And that is the key element that we are trying to correct here. Now, the question is, why should we want to have the right kept in government to license public entities in a situation in which we are increasingly trying to open up the competitive nature of the telecommunications market, because we are committed as government to a policy of what we call managed liberalization. That is, we're managing the way we're opening up competition into the economy. But we still believe it is necessary to have the right to intervene and license, especially public entities, so that public entities can do the job that we want them to do. And the Minister has explained this very clearly, that we are living in a situation in which we have inherited serious deficiencies in the provision of services, particularly to rural and disadvantaged areas. And if we allow open competition to try and address this need, we know that private companies will not want to invest in infrastructure in rural areas because it is not profitable for them to do so. And so continuously more and more of our people will be marginalized because they will not have the necessary backbone and infrastructure, because private companies will not go into the rural areas and provide broadband services. They will go into the main metropolitan areas because that's where people can afford it, that's where it's good business, it's profitable, and so they will continue to neglect the rural areas and so on. And then it would mean that our people who are marginalized in the second economy will continue to be marginalized. Those who are living in the urban areas and have access to broadband and so on will continue to reap better lifestyles from that opportunity. So as a government, we have to have this right to ensure that public entities will go into those areas and provide the infrastructure and give our people the services they need, so that we can close the divide between the second and the first economy and try and give more of people who have been historically disadvantaged opportunities. This bill seeks to give us that power so that when InfraCo addresses these difficulties, we will have the opportunity to correct the imbalance in the act. And that's essentially the purpose. We're not anti-competitive. We want people to come in and invest, we want them to compete, but at the same time, we want to grow the economy so that all our people can benefit, and not just a few people.
Thank you very much. Now the question that was asked by the Honourable Member, are we satisfied that we're not going to bring something else, you know?
Yes, this is a very fair question, but maybe I'll try and answer it in such a way that we agree in principle that when we come back, members must understand that it's not because we overlooked at something, but it's because of the challenges in this sector that we find ourselves in. We never thought when we did this law in 2 years, when we brought it to NCOP in 2006, that we'll be back again in 2007. Because obviously we did not know what was in the plans of our colleagues in DPE in terms of their contribution to infrastructure development. So when the issue of InfraCo was debated, we also didn't thought that much that we might be amending the ECA. But as the discussions were developing in the industry and various hundreds of legal opinions were sought by various stakeholders, that no, the government is not going to license InfraCo. Government will not license InfraCo unless the law is changed. So we have to sit down as groups and also get our own legal opinions in place to say what is the best way, because we all agree that in this country we need InfraCo. It's a good idea. But how do we assist the process going forward? Do we then agree with the industry that we don't need Infraco, knowing very well that as government we need Infraco. How do we deal with the situation? But then we had to sit down the two committees, because this bill was debated by the Committee of Community Public, the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Public Enterprises. It was not necessary, it was not initially DOC's plan. It's not even in our key performance for this year. We're not even going to get bonus of minister on this amendment. Because it's not even our business plan. But the two committees sit down and agree to say, what is this committee from communications offering for us to move forward and remove all the, because what colleagues from DPED, they have clauses that will allow them to be issued with a license. So say it has then the bill was deeming Infraco to be issued with a license, which was the highly contested clause in that bill. And the bill was not going to move forward out of the committee. We then offered from the department and both from the other committees that we will then approach cabinet and request amendment on the clause that will allow the licensing of the ECA. That will then pave the way for Infraco bill to move forward. Otherwise, Infraco bill was going to be finalized. It's either with the clause that you will then put everybody in the legal battle, or Infraco will be licensed, will be established, but not be able to operate that network. And we find ourselves in a circumstance where we have to come back to Parliament and request for this amendment. So I'm saying this because sometimes it's not really in our plans to amend legislation. But the ICT sector evolves in a very different way that we find ourselves tied in a corner of a particular section in the law. Because our operators, they behave in such a manner that they make it impossible for government to be able to deliver on their mandate. Just for the purpose of their own commercial interest. But this is something that we can come back to the members and say, in the interest of public, we think this is better for us to do. Please understand.
Thank you. Are we all satisfied? We are now going to I'm going to read the motion of the resolution that is the Electronic Communication Amendment Bill to amend the Electronic Communication Act of 2005 so as to empower the minister to issue an additional policy direction and to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bill back to the committee taken as a basis. Thank you. We are now members going to go slot by slot. So all of us who got the Electronic Communications Amendment as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Communication, that is Bill 38 of 2007. Okay, when we look at the first page, the preamble. Oh. And then, plus 1, I'm now going to read a report of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises on the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, Bill B38B of 2007, dated the 20th of November 2007. The Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, having considered the subject of the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, Bill B38B of 2007, from the National Assembly, Section 75 and classified by the Joint Taking Mechanism as a Section 75B, reports that it has agreed to the bill. Any mover? Thank you, Honorable Lashiko, seconded by Honorable Kamego. So, we have come to the end of this meeting. We would like to thank the minister and the deputy minister. Actually, you have blessed us, because last time I remember, that's why we are asking this question, Matilda. Last time, after the electronic communications bill, the media was on top of this committee and we kept quiet. We didn't say anything. So I think that's why we had us asking, is there nothing that you see? Not that the amendment can still come, but what happened last, you know, like, we kept quiet as the department to say, we didn't say anything. But we thank you, Minister and Deputy Minister, and the department for coming to this meeting, and thank you very much. And if we don't see you, I think this is the last week. You must enjoy your holidays. We will see you next year. Thank you very much.
The media still here.
The media was here last week. You know, it was before last. The media was here. You know. They were here with big cameras.
Yes,
they were here. But today they are not here. I think they heard that there are no amendments from the NCOP. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've got an indication number.
Remember the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise will undertake a visit to EFCON
the consular level, then what is it, wind energy demonstrating facility in Western Cape on the 23rd of November? Oh, I lost my breath. That's why I'm looking for you. And then the visit is intended to afford members of the portfolio committee on complementary price and opportunity to explain how ESCOM wind farm energy technology works and to identify some of the challenges in my head. ESCOM process is very important given the challenges the energy industry is facing in relation to finding alternative and renewable sources of energy. We appreciate if this invitation can be extended to the members of the from the chairperson of the portfolio committee on public enterprises. So the 23rd is so hard. So 23rd is Friday. I don't know who are the members who are available. So we will write back and say thank you for the invitation, but we will do prior commitment CMG, I think you can also go. Yeah. You're also excused. What you were here of, so I think we are finished.
From our end, we know.